WFM. With Green Firm, a nourishing addition to any sandwich, salad, stir fry, or snack. Natural protein, your way.
Thanks to Jenny Green for getting us ready for the bank holiday weekend. It's Thursday, the 3rd of June, and this is Game On. Coming up today, can Stephen Kenny scale new heights in the Pyrenees and get his first win as Irish manager? We'll have live updates shortly as the second half gets underway.
You know, it's been well documented that we're waiting to win, and I think we've got to go try and get a victory. Yeah, we will persist with giving players their opportunity. Because I believe we will get huge gains from that.
Shane McGrath is with us to preview the weekend's hurling as two of the game's great counties go head-to-head.
Look, whether it was Waterford or Galway today, what it means to both those counties. I'm looking over here at John McLann. He's heartbroken. And I'm heartbroken for the people of Waterford, but I'm delighted for the people of Galway. That's always the way it was going to be today. What an occasion.
I know, Mike.
What an emotional day. Very emotional day.
Jill Pinder played in the 2018 Hockey World Cup final, so she's best placed on what to expect as these two teams meet again at the Euros this weekend.
We are down to the final as the world number one and seven-time World Cup winners, the Netherlands, take on world number 16 and first-time finalists, Ireland. If ever there was a David versus Goliath sporting matchup, then this is surely it.
You can text us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM.
Game On on 2FM.
Yes, please send us in your thoughts on that first half display from the Republic of Ireland, nil all against Andorra. And Alan Cawley is with me in studio to go through it. Alan, I think the notion of getting a handy win for Stephen Kenny to get off the mark is not going to script.
No, absolutely not, Marie. where do I start, really? The first half in particular, the first half an hour was absolutely dreadful. We did pick it up a little bit, I suppose, towards the latter part of the half and started there. We created one chance, really, with James Collins, and he should have scored, Marie. It was an absolute sitter. It was probably harder to do what he did and completely missed the target, and that was the only chance that we created. But that would be the worry, that we haven't carved out any chances. And not only that, I think our general patterns of play as well have been quite laboured and pedestrian for large spells in that first half. So you'd be expecting a marked improvement in this second half, Marie, because let's be honest, you're playing Andorra. Now the pitch, I've been highly critical of it throughout the whole first half, but it's hard to make excuses for the players when you're on a winless run of 11 games and you're playing Andorra.
Look, Alan, we are looking for a win because it has been 11 without one. It's really important that he gets off the mark. But at the same time, when we're talking about projects and progress, we need to start seeing some of it. Are we seeing anything different with this team?
I think up to the games now, I certainly have seen signs that obviously what Stephen is trying to implement, and certainly I know what he's trying to implement, and I suppose football people do as well. But ultimately, you're trying to convince fans and you're trying to convince people as well, and that kind of comes down to results, Marie. And you look at the results at the moment, and there's no dressing it up, there's no getting away from the fact that football, regardless of how you want to play or what kind of philosophy you want to implement, ultimately it comes down to results. It's a results orientated business, and as much as you want to support Stephen and get behind the project and all that stuff, and I have from day one, you have to see some sort of return on results, and at the moment we haven't. Obviously, people are still sticking with him, and that's fine. But you're going into a game against Andorra where you're thinking today is the day that we'll get that victory. Stephen was obviously very hopeful in the press conference in the build up to this. And judging by the first half performance, Marie, if it doesn't improve, well, I think there'll be plenty of people out to criticise Stephen after this.
Well, Tony O'Donoghue is with us. Tony, you would have to think after watching that first half that things can only get better.
Yeah, well, how soon are they going to get better? That's the thing. We're in the 50th minute now. Troy Parrott was probably looking for a penalty there. He was inside the box and ball out of his control, and he sort of fell over the defender. And as Alan was saying there, we're just not creating enough, you know. Neither side had a shot on target in the game. Total attempts, Ireland 4 in the first half, 2 for Andorra. Ireland had 3 corners in the first half, 70% possession, but not doing anything with it. I mean, this is a team ranked 158th in the world, and we're ranked 47. That's 111 places between us. But what you need to unlock defences, even at any level, is a bit of guile. No sign of that. We haven't created chances, lacking penetration. The best chance, as Alan said, came in the 36th minute. A little bit of decent play by Ireland. Doherty and Cullen combining. Jason Knight getting involved on the right-hand side. Hit over a beautiful cross and Collins really should have scored him. And a decent striker, if I reckon if Troy Parrott was on the end of it, he would have scored it. You know, Collins has shown, unfortunately, that he's not really up to it at this level. But how many more of the Irish players are not up to it at this level? Or how much of a factor is it that they're not buying into what the manager is asking them to do? You know, they have had a proper session since last Friday, most of them, and we were hoping that that would be reflected on the pitch. But for the moment, that's not the case. Andorra with a free kick midway inside the Irish half on the left-hand side now, and we're in the 52nd minute. So, yeah, this has been a poor game against a poor team and on a very poor pitch as well.
Alan, the point that Tony made there is definitely worth exploring.
Oh, goal for Andorra. Unbelievable.
Oh my.
That free kick I was talking about floated into the box. A header, uncontested it looked like, flew past Gavin Bazunu into the net, and this is now nightmare material. Who was picking up there? Nobody marking. John Egan looking around going, who was supposed to be picking him up? And a header way past Gavin Bazunu into the net, and it's Andorra 1, Republic of Ireland 0. Extraordinary.
Tony,
yeah,
don't, a nightmare.
I'm speechless here, Marie. And you look at James McLean, he's pointing, he's looking around, he's the one that should have tracked the run. He kind of went and hesitated. No one went with the runner as well. No organisation from the set piece defensively. And it's an absolute nightmare, Marie. Like, the first half was bad, as bad and all as it was. You're still thinking it's nil all, we'll improve and go on and score. We're behind to Andorra now.
And the point that Tony was making, Alan, just before that goal went in, and it's the one that I want to explore, is it a case that we don't have the players, or are the players not fully buying into what Stephen Kenny is trying to do?
Yeah, there's probably two sides to that, and probably a bit of both, Marie, as well. The fact that I do think they're probably buying into what he's doing, but then, as you say, have we the players to carry it out? I still think we have the players good enough to be beating the likes of Andorra, or certainly putting a better performance. I don't particularly like the shape of the team. I think Stephen might get criticised for that. I don't think you need to be playing two holding midfielders against Andorra. As Tony mentioned, in the first half you have 70% of the ball. You don't need two sitting midfielders. All you need is one, and you could have one more advanced on. You have Jason Knight, who predominantly plays in a tree at his club with Derby County. Fair enough, it's on the right hand side of a tree, but he's effectively playing as a right winger here, and that certainly doesn't suit him. He looks out of very uncomfortable in that position. Troy Parrott as well, you're probably an argument for Jamie McGrath in much better form than Troy Parrott to play him as the number 10. But you look at Stephen Kenny on the sideline there, Marie, and as I said, like, I don't know where you go from here in terms of, I've supported him from day one and I've no problem with that, but you can't be losing to Andorra. Whatever about Luxembourg in that game, you can't be losing to Andorra, simple as that. No matter what time of the year the match is on, you can't be losing to Andorra.
Well, Tony, I don't know, they are losing to Andorra, so what are they going to do now? Are there players you think that he should bring in?
Well, they're going to defend a corner. That's another chance for Andorra on the edge of the box, and John Egan, who's captain for this evening, he ducked slightly, but it hit off his back and his shoulder and out for a corner. So this is going from bad to worse. Yeah, I mean, he'll have to look at his bench perhaps, but you know, he needs more from who's on the pitch already, and they have to defend this Andorra corner. We'll have a look at this now and see what happens here. Ireland behind to Andorra. We've played them four times. We've never lost to them, obviously. We've won all four encounters so far. Corner about to come in from the left hand side. Some movement in the box now by Andorra. Clearing header from Ireland, not that far away, but Troy Parrott gets a second header and Josh Cullen moves it out of danger. Yeah, I mean, look, I wonder what Stephen Kenny must be thinking now, and Keith Andrews, because, you know, this needs changing very, very quickly. This is embarrassing. This, you know, we thought the losing at home to Luxembourg was bad, and then we all said that, well, Luxembourg are an improving side. But Andorra beat Hungary in 2017. And yeah, no easy games in international football and all that kind of stuff, but this really is unacceptable now.
And Alan, there's no more excuses. We've had the COVID to use as an excuse. We've had lack of preparation time to use as an excuse. This is the first camp where they've had a big run into it, and there's no COVID cases running into it either.
No, it's a great point you make, Marie, because I would have been one of those people not making excuses, but I certainly would have been using those as factors into war. And they were real life factors, as we all know. There was a lot of COVID situations and different things and everybody was saying how unlucky Stephen was. There's absolutely no excuses for this whatsoever, Marie. As you said, they've had the build up, they've been together now for days, a proper camp in terms of, like, we all hear about, you're trying to implement a philosophy and a style and whatever way you want to dress it up. They've had all the days to do that and the preparation. And there is no excuses whatsoever. If you lose to Andorra, well, then you have to suffer the consequences. And it's as simple as that, Marie. And you look at them at the moment, as much as you're trying to build for the future and a project and all that talk, as I said at the start of the conversation, it effectively comes back to results as well. And 12 games in, whatever about not getting a win, but whatever about 12 games in and not getting a win and losing to Luxembourg and Andorra, it just certainly doesn't look good at all.
Tony, you've seen managers come and go. You've seen crisis. You've seen chaos. You have seen so much in your time as the soccer correspondent. Where does this rate? And what can happen next for Stephen Kenny? How long is he going to get supported for?
I remember the game in Liechtenstein, another so-called minnow under Jack Charlton, and a draw there. And I remember Jack saying at the time, that result will do us untold damage. And that was the beginning of the end, really. I mean, it was a glorious period in Irish football when Jack Charlton took over, obviously getting to our first ever European Championships and getting to two World Cups. But that was maybe the beginning of the end when, you know, a team undoubtedly of full of class performance who had done so much in the game and couldn't do it against Liechtenstein. And there comes a time in every managerial reign when it's just not working and it just, you know, a decision has to be made. Now, obviously there's a game next Tuesday against Hungary, and the FAI up to now, Roy Barrett, the independent chair, has always given plenty of support to Stephen, and the president, Gerry McInerney, as well. Edge of the box, Troy Parrott getting a shot away, and Troy Parrott has equalised for Ireland. That puts a different complexion on things for the moment. 58th minute, and as we said, the boy has some class. We've been talking about him for long enough. Really a goal that he made himself, spun on to the ball, edged towards the box. McLean and Cullen, or Curtis rather, and then Parrott brought it to the edge of the box, unleashed a right-footed shot past the keeper, so it's 1-1. So that's a little better. I know we have to go on and win the game, because you're talking about end-game stuff for Stephen Kenny. I'm talking about different times in the past when the FAI needed to support their manager. Up to now, all the right noises have been there, but, you know, if this sort of thing continues, if it seems as if no matter what he does, that we're not getting results, or we're not getting, you know, different performances out of the Irish team, well, then surely, because you have to be results driven. There's Parrott again with an opportunity. Oh, and Curtis had a great opportunity there to get Ireland into the lead. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to finish to the net. It will be a corner for Ireland. So, yeah, there's Parrott again looking on form. Curtis had a great opportunity, left foot drive by him, but wide of the post, unfortunately. So yeah, let's see for the rest of this game if Ireland can now get back into it and get that win. At least that Troy Parrott goal has brought us back on level terms.
I think we have to be realistic as well, Marie. Now, as I say, there's no excuse you should be beating Andorra, but if you go through the team lineup, Barrett, Matt Doherty, they're all playing in the Championship or lower. Like, you look at Darrell Shea after being relegated, West Brom, John Egan, Sheffield United, McLean, Stoke, Anderlecht, Josh Cullens with Horhins, that was out and loan with Swansea, Ronan Curtis with Portsmouth, James Collins, Luton. Like, Parrott there, who is obviously an up and coming, hopefully, we're hoping he'll be a star, but he's been out and loan at Ipswich. So, like, we have no entitlement to be beating anyone. Like, we need to rein ourselves in a little bit as well in terms of kind of who we think we are as a footballing nation, but there's no excuses in terms of when it comes to Andorra. We should
and
be
I know we
them.
Don't have any entitlement, Alan, but at the same time, we want to at least have some hope and to be going into qualification spells and thinking that we're going to be winning matches, beating teams at our level, and maybe getting the rub of the green and qualifying for tournaments.
Yeah, and I think that will happen, Marie, and I think we've seen that in some of the games that we've seen already, but we all knew when Stephen took over, this is going to take time. And I keep coming back to the fact that obviously it's results orientated, so the longer that goes on, you won't get the time. But you do, like, this was always going to be the long game that we have to play here in terms of trying to bring younger players through. You look at the bench there, what's on the bench, Jason Malumbi, Jamie McGrath, Mandrew from Shamrock Rovers, Adam Ida, Ryan Manning, Ogbeni got called into the squad. So there's a lot of young lads, and Stephen's trying to blood them. As I say, this would be a major dampener in terms of what he's trying to do and what he's trying to implement. If you were to lose to Andorra, I can't believe I'm even saying that, but if you were to do that, or even draw, but it was always going to take time. Now, the thing for Stephen was, whilst it was taking the time, you had to be picking up the odd result along the way. Unfortunately, for now, we haven't. And if, again, as I say, if this was a draw, that's 12 games without a win, people would be quick to criticise. And rightly so. Like, I'm not defending that. You have to get wins along the way. But I think people need to be realistic as well in terms of our expectations and aspirations and where we're at with the group of players that we have.
Okay, well, we're going to take a very quick break. Tony, we'll check in with you a little bit later on. I have to say, it is...
And it's a goal for Ireland. And it's a second goal. And Troy Parrott with his second goal of the game across from the left-hand side, a deep cross. And I told
we're
you...
We're on fire now, Marie.
Parrott is the man in the right position. His first and second goals, unbelievable stuff. So, yeah, good build-up on the left-hand side. It was McLean to Conor Horan. His left foot crossed deep to the far post. And Parrott was there to bundle the ball home. So there we go, Ireland. Back in the game and back in front 2-1. That changes the complexion, certainly.
Alan, it's actually funny because so many people think that, okay, if Ireland aren't playing well, I'm not going to watch the games. You know, I can't watch football like that. I can't take my eyes off that match. I don't even know why, but it really is compelling.
I'm delighted for the kid as well because there was a lot of hype on him, and I know when he made his debut with Spurs and people thinking we were probably pinning too much on the young kid's shoulders, Marie, but he's gone out to Ipswich and that's good for him, still learning and developing the game. But Stephen always had great faith in him. He did very well for him with the 21s, so he has huge talent, and the fact that he scored a couple of goals, that's great for him, because as much as you want to see the young lads coming through, they have to be good enough as well, Marie. You can't be throwing young lads in for the sake of saying, oh, we're trying to blood new lads and bring them through. They have to be good enough, and he certainly is good enough, but he also has to deliver when he gets in, and the fact that he got the two goals now, it's huge for his confidence. I'd like to think now with 62 minutes on the clock, we'd be comfortable from here on, Marie. But just to get the win as well, and to get that monkey off Stephen's back also, because
just to come from behind and beat Andorra is just brilliant. Okay, on that note, let's take a very quick break.
Game on 2FM with Green Farm. Green Farm's new cooked chicken breast fillets are 100% natural and packed with protein. Available in selected stores nationwide.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back now. 65 minutes gone between the Republic of Ireland and Andorra, and the Republic of Ireland are leading 2-1. 10 minutes is a long time in international football. They were down 1-0, but two Troy Parrott goals put them back in front, and they have burst into life, and it looks like they're about to make two changes with Daryl Horgan coming on and...
Daryl Horgan's coming on and Adam Ida. Collins has gone off, Marie. I actually would have started Ida. I agree with Tony. I don't think Collins is up to this level. He's had ample opportunities now in even previous games, and tonight he had an unbelievable chance and he didn't take it. So it's good to see young Adam Ida coming on. Obviously just got newly promoted with Norwich as well, and Daryl Horgan, who's done very well for Stephen in the games in recent times as well, also coming on. So some fresh legs on, and as I say, their tails are up now. They should go on and win this comfortably, Marie.
Well, we can hope anyway. Right, let's talk hurling now. Shane McGrath is with us on the line. Shane, it is going to be wall-to-wall hurling this weekend, and the most intriguing battle is going to be, I'd say anyway, between Limerick and Cork, because they are due to meet in a month's time as well. This is a bit of a dress rehearsal. How do you think they're going to approach this game?
Yeah, well, lads, how's things, Alan? Good to hear from you there again, back in the studio, man. Glad to hear Ireland are flying it there as well. So we'll put the money on them to do well in the next
Get your money on, Shane. Get your money on.
Yeah. And hopefully, United now will get a few buys for us during the summer as well. So, suppose talk about Limerick and Cork. It's a far cry from maybe Man United, but we've had a good few heroes from Cork anyway playing for Man United, but. The Limerick Cork thing, Marie, yeah, it's a strange one because, you know, they have a big game coming up in a month's time. Like, who's the happier of the camps going into this game? Sure, it's clearly Cork. Like, they're top of the league there at the moment. They've 5 points. Their score difference of plus 40. You know, I know a lot of that was probably against Westmeath as well. But I mean, they're in a really good place. They've scored 14 goals in the league so far, and you know they look to be, for me, they look to be a different animal. I got to see them the first day down playing in Park Cueve against Waterford this year, and the first thing I was struck by was their work rate. It was ferocious, and I suppose they're often criticised as not maybe being as always maybe being obviously a fantastic hurling team and sticksmen and everything, but sometimes their work rate and their hunger to win that dirty ball is questioned. But what I seen that day was they had ferocious work rate, so they're in a really good place coming into it. And if maybe one of the sets of the managers is thinking about maybe not maybe going full tilt of it, I'd say it probably is Kieran Kingston. The Limerick side of it then is, and I know you maybe want to talk about the frees they're conceding, Marie, and it probably is a worrying fact in that nearly half of their scores they've conceded, 45% of their scores actually going by Conan Doherty. He had some great stats there on Twitter. They've conceded 32 frees, 45% of their scores. So, and a lot of people are going to say, are they being reffed unfairly? Are they actually genuinely fouling? For me, it's a kind of a in the middle with them, Marie, at the moment, in that a lot of what they're doing is just maybe just match rustiness, and you know the tackles they're putting in might be, you know, they're just off the mark of where they need to be for championships. So, and
it'll, I think, actually be interesting, Shane, to see that at the weekend, because they're coming up against a Cork team who are so pacey, who like to play to break the line. The analysis on Limerick is that they're big lads who play on the edge, and they are getting penalised for that. But when those two meet at the weekend, it might tell us more about whether or not they're getting refereed harsh, or what the situation is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, the way Cork are trying to play at the moment is, and I think it's all credit to them, and I know a lot of people mightn't have liked the look of it against Tip and Thurles, but you have to play to your strengths, like. And I'm sure Cork are looking at Limerick, Marie, saying, right, if you take their half back line at present, you've Dermot Byrne 6'4", Declan Hannan is 6'2", and Kyle Hayes is 6'5", touching 6'6". I mean, there's three guys, size-wise, you know, that wouldn't look out of place playing most professional rugby teams with their size, but these guys are able to hurl as well. So I'm sure Cork are looking at this, and most teams are looking at it going, the last thing you want to do is lump ball down on top of three guys like that. They're going to win it 9 times out of 10, or else they're going to break it. So I'm sure Cork are looking at that too, say, look, what's our strength? Our strength is our hurling and our skill and our speed with the ball. So I'm sure they're looking at playing it through the lines and try and keep the ball and keep the likes of those three kind of giants out of the game from winning primary possession for puckouts. So I think Cork are definitely trying to develop a system, and I think they're dead right to not care what other people think about how they're doing it, and I'm sure Kieran Kingston doesn't, but the group are going to buy into it, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see him doing something similar again this week, because it's very hard just to switch that on and off in any sport. You know, if you have a style of play, it's very hard just to change it up week in, week out. And they trust it. The players are good enough to do it. And I think that's what Cork are looking at. Try and keep the ball away from, you know, 50-50 tackles, and don't go in against the most physical team in hurling at the moment, and see how you get on, Marie. So it should be a very interesting one. And the other one I was reading as well is that Limerick are going to be the first team since Galway in 1980 coming back off the back of an All-Ireland not to get a win in their first four games. So look, they're not going to want to lose three in a row, and that's why I think Limerick are just maybe going to want to win this a bit more at the weekend. Like,
yeah, the problem is, though, if Cork do win it, you know what Cork are like now, and they get a bit of confidence and they get a run at things as well. Like, it really suits them, that momentum as a team. It rises them up.
Cork lads aren't confident, you know. They really lack self-confidence, you know. It's one thing they
keep
need to
keep them down, is what I'm saying, you know.
I think they are in a good place, as we said already, you know. The group is in a good place, and they're developing a really, really strong panel as well, and I think that's going to be massive, like, you know, going forward with the championship, especially, you know, teams are going to pick up injuries, because you're going to be playing, you know, if you lose your first championship game, you're going to be playing week in, week out. If you win, you're out every 2 weeks. So, you know, I think Cork are in a really good place going into it. So I think maybe it's not the end of the world for Cork and for Kieran Kingston if they don't win this one at the weekend, whereas for Limerick, I think it's one that the group needs to win. And, you know, John Kiley, most games, has played 11 or 12 of his top guys. He's thrown in a few new guys as well, like Mark Quinlan from Gary Spillane. See Robbie Hanley now, Finn Mallock, he was there before. Aaron Costello and Cathal O'Neill. A lot of people might know Cathal O'Neill, but he was a fantastic minor a couple of years ago and brilliant for their 20s last year. But he's tried these guys, but I think it's harder for these guys, the new guys coming into a team where the team isn't going well. It's maybe harder for a new guy to come in and kind of make a stamp on it when maybe the top guys around him just aren't in form at the moment, and they don't seem to be collectively as a group on form at the moment. They're also going to be without Kyle Hayes and Seamus Flanagan at the weekend because of suspensions. Like, so look, it'll be an interesting one, but I just think I really do think that Limerick had a serious chat with themselves the last couple of weeks since the Waterford game. And I think there's a big performance in him at the weekend in the Gaelic grounds.
Yeah, well, the championship is coming around. It's not a league like, you know, other years before when it was just the league. Okay, it is just the league, but still at the same time, championship is going to be upon us very quickly. exactly. So you need to be hitting form now, or at least be winning matches. And I suppose that does go for a lot of the teams. And when you look across this weekend and some of the matches that are going to be played, a lot of them I feel that you don't really know where they're at. Like take Dublin and Clare, for example. I feel that we haven't got a full picture of either of those teams where they are so close to championship.
Yeah, I think this week and next week's games, Marie, I think you're going to see a better quality of hurling, because you've had 3 weeks now and most teams had to rest. Obviously Kilkenny Wexford with the game being postponed were out last weekend, but I think you're going to see a better quality of game because, yeah, as I said, players are getting match practice now. You're going to see maybe not as many frees because, you know, people are going to tackle better first of all, and secondly the referees now have had three good weeks of games as well, so they're going to be a bit match sharp as well. So the Dublin and Clare one, I think you're going to see a very good game there. I'm actually up in Paris at the weekend, so Alan, I might call over for a cup of tea there afterwards.
You're more than welcome, Shane. More than welcome.
And everything, man, you know. But I think Dublin and Clare are two teams, Marie, actually coming into this in really good form. I was at the Dublin Leash game, and to be honest, it wasn't great. The best thing about going to Port Leash was got a Supermax on the way home. But I think Dublin are in a good place. I like them against how they played against Antrim. They showed that they were a level above. Antrim maybe found a hard going 3 weeks in a row. But their big players are coming into form. I think Danny Sutcliffe was really good against Antrim the last day, scored 3 points. I think Rush looked really solid at number six. So, you know, they're just two of their players. And you know, obviously Donal Burke is a fantastic striker of the ball inside there as well. But they seem to be developing a really good team, and they seem to be finding a bit of confidence in themselves from the Leash game, the Antrim game. And in Clare, you think about it, you know, I know it felt like the whole world was against Clare there, Marie, for a couple of weeks between what was going
and
on
not
internally.
Not just Tipperary for a change.
Yeah, not just Tip for a change, exactly. So we love the Clare people, Marie. I told you that. I went to school down
the
there.
Way around,
great, back to education, you know. It felt like the whole world was against with everything going on internally. Then you had, you know, the COVID thing. And I think this is actually maybe after working in Clare's advantage to the degree that Brian Lohan maybe has brought the group together, and the group are really, really close. And the other thing is a lot of their big players are coming into form now again. No more so than Shane O'Donnell. I thought he was really good against Leash the last day. Scored 1-1, was involved in a lot of other good stuff. You know, John Conlon seems to be slotting in nicely at number six. Aaron Shanahan scored 3 points to play against Wexford, you know. I think Clare could have won that match if all their top players had stayed in the field. I just think they kind of gassed out towards the end of the game, and Wexford came back in with that running game they have, and they kind of took over the game, really finishing up. But Aidan McCarthy has been really good. And the other thing, you know, like a lot of people might realise, is Colm Galvin is back in the squad as well, and he'll offer something there around the middle. You know, he's very good on the ball, he's a great distributor of the ball. So I think we're going to have a really good game at the weekend, Marie, with Dublin and Clare, because I think you've got two panels who are coming into a really good vein of form and are going to look at this game, and they're both going to feel we can win it. And I just think maybe the Parnell Park factor and a bit of confidence that Dublin have gained over the last couple of games might just edge it for them at the weekend in Parnell.
Could you apply that same logic to Galway and Waterford then as well, just given the fact that in the early days they were kind of experimenting a little bit but seem to be settling down now as things go on?
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. I was very impressed. It was down in Walsh Park a couple of weeks ago to see Waterford Limerick, and it obviously was a massive game for the Waterford lads. They were really G'd up for it, and you could see that from, you know, even Liam Cahill on the sideline and everything. And obviously, you know, Flanagan's red card, was it a factor in the match? It was a massive factor because he was after getting on a lot of ball, and what it did was it freed up Austin Gleeson. So I feel, you know, that was a game Waterford should have won, and they did win because of the extra man and the massive breeze that they had in the second half. The goalkeeper Billy Nolan's puckouts were nearly landing on the 14 yard line at the other side. So I think Waterford are coming into a good vein of form again. They're building a really strong panel, and like if I said to you, Marie, a couple of years ago that Waterford won't have Stephen O'Keefe, Tadhg Na Burka, Pádraig Mahony, Dara Fives, and they're still going to be a really good team, it'll tell you how far they've come in the last couple of years, because who has stepped up to the plate? You know, Kieran Bennett, Jack Fagan, Caelum Lyons, Billy Nolan in goals, you know, and obviously all their top players as well, you know, the likes of Jamie Barron, Austin Gleeson, you know, Conor Prunty was immense the last day, and Stephen Bennett, you know, Daisy Hutchison. Like, Waterford are a really, really good squad now. You know, Patrick Curran came off the bench last day, scored 3 points from play. So they're coming into it in a really good place, in a really good vein of form. I just think Galway are frightening, the team, that the potential team they could have. I think Shane O'Neill is very happy with where they're at now. They made a lot of changes against Tip the last day, and you know, they didn't really look the same team as they did against Limerick. But I mean, I could name off here 6 or 7 guys that could be their forwards. Okay, Joe Canning's at midfield at the moment. Evan Nyland is absolutely outstanding free taker. Brian Concannon, Conor Whelan, Cathal Mannion, Conor Cooney, Niall Burke, Jason Flynn. They try and pick 6 of them maybe potentially for your forwards. I think Shane O'Neill is very, very happy with where this group is at the moment. He's also getting all his big guys at the back as well. Dahi Burke got some game time against Tip. You know, looked, did fine, but not to the Dahi Burke, you know, the all-star year in, year out level. But he got a bit of time against Tip. Gerard McInerney is coming back in. I mean, I just think Galway are in a really, really good place at the moment. And I think both teams will go hard at this, because realistically, Galway and Waterford, when are they going to meet again in the Championship, Marie? It might not happen maybe until maybe an All-Ireland semi-final or final, if they both kind of progress through their side of the group. So I think they'll both say, look, the chances of us meeting each other in Championship are small, so let's go really hard, because this is going to be a really, really good gauge of where we're at. And I expect 2 strong teams for Galway and Waterford at the weekend. And I would expect, I'd actually expect if Galway picked, you know, maybe 12 or 13 of their top guys, I'd expect them to win the game with Benan above and Salt Hill as well. Like,
well, Shane, listening to you now and the way you're building up these games, there'll be nobody out in the sunshine for the weekend. We'll all be sitting in watching what could potentially be a couple of cracking games. And there's 3 other ones as well. So Antrim, Wexford, Kilkenny, Laois, Westmeath and Tipperary. Are you anticipating any shocks there?
What, define a shock now, I suppose. I mean, like,
Antrim beating Clare is my definition of a shock.
The Antrim beating Clare it could be alright, but you have to remember there was a lot of things happening, I suppose, you know, up to Corrigan Park in Belfast. It's no more so than Parnell Park's a hard place to go. Corrigan Park in Belfast is a very hard place to go. I feel that Wexford are coming into it, you know, they'll have a bit between their teeth after getting a bit of a hiding against Wexford, against Kilkenny at the weekend. And I just feel, you know, this is a game that they're going to target, that they have to win as a group, really, you know. Where are they at the table? They're 4 points. You know, they're going fine. The win against Clare, I suppose, maybe sugarcoating that they're maybe not firing on all cylinders either, and with everything going on there with the COVID thing and everything. So I think Wexford, I think the shock factor of Antrim actually being a very good hurling team is truly gone now, because of the performances they put up against Clare, obviously winning, but against coming down to Nolan Park against Kilkenny. I just feel they ran out of gas against Dublin. So, but I do think Wexford will go up there, you know, knowing that they have to get the win. They really do. The group needs the win, like, you know, and it'll be very demoralising for them and for everyone around the county, you know, if they don't get the win. And that's all due respect to Antrim, but Antrim understand that now, and I think they like the tag of underdogs, and they like the tag that, you know, people are looking at them to win as a guaranteed 2-pointer. But Darren Gleeson hasn't been in a great place. I think they'll put up a great performance, but I do think Wexford will win. I think Kilkenny are in a very good place at the moment as well, because 120 against Dublin, 128 against Antrim, 227 against Wexford. But TJ is coming back. TJ scored 118 the last day. Billy Ryan scored 14. And Laois have looked very poor this year, Marie. The closest they've got to any team is 8 points against Dublin. They lost by 19 points to Wexford. They lost by 13 points to Clare. I just think Laois they're not in a good place at the moment, whether things internally aren't good or you know, maybe not all their best players are there either. So I don't see anything but a Kilkenny victory. The Westmeath tip one didn't. Finally, I do feel that it will be an opportunity for Liam Sheedy to try guys that maybe people haven't heard a lot of. Owen Connolly from Cashel, Alan Tynan from Roscrea, he was with the Munster Rugby set up in the academy. He's back hurling with Tip this year. So you might see a few of those guys, Paddy Cadell. I do still think, you know, you'll have 7 or 8 of your top guys playing as well, because, you know, you need those guys there to settle things down, and in case if it was a thing that Westmeath, you know, came back into it, especially with the match being on up in Cusick Park as well in Westmeath. So I do think you'll see some changes, but maybe not 9 or 10 changes, Marie, but obviously a Tip victory. So Yeah, so look, looking forward to the weekend of it. As you said, everyone will be hopefully watching the games. I'm after buying a new barbecue, so I'm hoping for a bit of sunshine and so I can get out and...
Well, you can multitask. You can eat your hot dog and watch your matches. You'll be grand. Shane McGrath, thanks so much for joining us. We'll chat to you next week. Alan Colley, are we cruising to a 2-1 victory over Andorra?
I wouldn't exactly say we're cruising, to be honest with you, Marie, but we do look a bit more comfortable than we did earlier on. They've responded actually okay. Now, they're not creating any chances, but they're having a little bit of the ball. You would have expected us to maybe take charge a bit more. Stephen made a couple of changes, as I said. Horgan and Ida came on. They haven't really made much of an impact. But it's great to see Jamie McGrath just come on for Troy Parrott now. And Troy Parrott, to be fair, as I said, Marie, there was a lot of hype, a lot of expectation on his shoulders since he was obviously only 16, 17, and he's still so young. So you have to give the lad time. But it's the fact that he stood up in a big moment when we needed someone to stand up, fair play to him, he got the two goals. He's gone off now, and Jamie McGrath's come on. I'm delighted to see Jamie come on and get his debut as well. He's a great lad. He was obviously with Dundalk last year, went over to Scotland with St Mirren, had an unbelievable season, scored 17 goals. He was named their player of the year as well, so he's come on for his debut, so it's good to see that.
Yeah, we had him on actually after it was quite early in the season. He was just settling in and all the rest, and he was almost just whispering that it would be nice to play for Ireland, and said he couldn't even dream of it really, and look at him now. So it just shows.
It does, Maria, absolutely. And he's a very unassuming kid, he's really likeable, so the fact that he's had such a good year, as you says, he probably came on the show earlier in the year, and he is very shy and, as I say, very unassuming, but he's probably grown in stature. And there's another goal now, Marie, is it? Yep, Jason Knight. So Jason Knight is Daryl Horgan with a brilliant ball into the box. Jason Knight coming in at the back post. 3-1, and yeah, we're home and hosed against
Andorra. Well, Tony's here now for another goal, Tony.
Well, thank goodness for that. Yeah, it was on the crate on the left hand side. Daryl Horgan whipped the ball over with his right foot, and Jason Knight made a good late run into the box, got there before the goalkeeper, right footed into the net. So McLean's throw in to begin with. Daryl Horgan, who's one of the substitutes, with a good ball over to the far post, and Jason Knight coming in to make it 3-1. So makes it a bit more comfortable. It certainly spares Stephen Kenny's blushes, of course, but nonetheless, this performance poses many, many questions. So one monkey's off the back, maybe another one is jumping on.
Absolutely, Tony. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break.
Game on 2FM. Green Farm, healthy dinners made easy with Green Farm's high protein cooked chicken breast fillets range, available in selected stores nationwide.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back. The Ireland women's hockey team are in action this weekend at the Euro Hockey Championships in the Netherlands. They'll be broadcast live on RTE2, starting with Saturday's opener against the host nation. Gillian Pinder is with us to go through the action. Gillian, it's a lot of games in a very short period. How are they going to approach this opening game to start with? Because it is against the Netherlands, who are the best in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. The hockey schedule is always absolutely jam-packed when you compare it to other sports. So I think that the team just has used to playing a lot of games in a short space of time. They also had two kind of uncapped friendly games this week as well to get used to playing at, on this pitch and in the heat as well. So the toughest game, no doubt, is probably going to be against the Dutch, because they're the world number one and they have a good history, defending champions as well of the Europeans. So it's going to be a good test for them in their opening game.
And like, you've obviously played against them and on the biggest stage. When you're going out to play against the team like the Netherlands and you know how good they are you going out with the mindset, we're going to beat this team, or is it just a case where you try and get the best performance that you can, Jill?
I mean, you're looking to kind of get results out of every single game that you play. The Dutch is probably the most difficult team to roll over in terms of getting a win on the day. But you just need to have your homework done. You need to, you know, look at where they're strong, where they can hurt you, and you need to look at areas that you can exploit as well. And then if you have a good game defensively and take the opportunities that you do have going forward, then you have every chance to put them under the cosh and to turn it into a good contest.
And we've seen the evolution of Sean Dancer's game. We're seeing a more attacking, intense style, and it is a good opportunity to see how that holds up against a team like the Netherlands.
Yeah, I think so as well. He definitely wants to play with a more attacking mind frame and getting yourself in positions where you can score goals. It's go, go, go from him. So he's really into exerting a lot of energy in a short space of time, come off the pitch, get your recovery, and you go straight back on. So that's kind of the mindset that he's looking for. But when you're playing in conditions that are a bit hotter than we're used to in Ireland, you have to take those into account as well, into how you conserve energy when you're playing against these top teams.
So when you look at the games that are coming up, what games are they going to target as games that they can win?
Well, I think for them, for the Europeans this year, acting as a qualifier for the World Cup, what they probably need to do is finish in the top five. And with the group of the Netherlands, Scotland and Spain that Ireland are going to come up against in the first three group games, they definitely need 3 points against Scotland. And I think that last game against Spain is going to be the crucial game that will either send Ireland into the top four, where they'd be competing for a medal, and it will also be the highest place finish Ireland have ever had. Or if they lose that and they end up in the relegation battle, they need to finish fifth in order to secure that spot for a World Cup qualification next year.
And we were speaking to you a couple of weeks ago about the squad and the opportunities that might come up if there are injuries. And Deirdre Duke is in because of Sarah Torrens' injury, so it is a big opportunity for her.
Yeah, it's disappointing for Sarah Torrens. This would have been her first kind of international tournament. She's at home rehabbing an injury that she picked up. But as you say, it's a great opportunity for Deirdre Duke. And she's played in these tournaments before and she's delivered and she's scored goals in big games. So I think Ireland aren't at any sort of a disadvantage by any means by having her stepping up into the squad now. And I hope that she takes the opportunity with both hands to deliver and perform really well.
Okay, Gillian Pinder, who will be on RTE's coverage over the weekend. Thanks so much for joining us. Alan Cawley.
Another goal, Maria. Jason Knight has returned a favour to Daryl Horgan and he's put an unbelievable ball into the box. Jason Knight, Daryl Horgan coming in at the back post. A carbon copy of what Daryl Horgan had done just previous 5 or 6 minutes ago for Jason Knight. So, as I say, he's returned a favour and a brilliant diving headed finish from Daryl Horgan, and that kind of puts the icing on the cake now, Marie. 4-1, comfortable win in the end. Our hearts were in our mouths after about 55 minutes when Andorra took the lead, but thankfully, as I say, they've run out easy winners now, and I'm absolutely delighted for Daryl Horgan as well. He's a great lad, Marie. He's come through the hard way, obviously through the League of Ireland, gone over to carve out a career for himself in England, and to see him score for Ireland is absolutely brilliant.
And Tony, our goal stats are going to be looking better under Stephen Kenny as well, which is very important.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, Daryl Horgan, this pitch has been very poor, I have to say. It reminds me of Oriel Park, and Daryl Horgan has some experience of that, of course, and he has been very good when he's come on, and he's played an important role for Ireland in several games now. So as Alan was saying there, he was a provider for the third goal for Jason Knight, playing on the left but crossing with the right, and then Jason Knight returning the compliment, crossing from the right, and Horgan with a very brave run into the box with a diving header. So that'll make the scoreline look better. It won't necessarily improve the perception of the performance, but Stephen Kenny will be a very relieved man. After 12 games, he has his first international victory as Republic of Ireland manager. We've got a minute and a half left because we've got 3 minutes of added time to what's been a tough watch for the most part, but unless we get another one, it's Andorra 1, Republic of Ireland 4, and a win for Stephen Kenny, thank goodness.
I know with the performance as well, but the only thing you would say in his defence, the pitch is dreadful, Marie. Tony's right about that. It's an awful pitch, and I don't think there should be Astro pitches allowed at any level of football, maybe for training or whatever, but not certainly senior international football or even in senior football for domestic leagues around the world. But the only other thing as well, you're in a no-win situation with these games. You're expected to go out and win 4-5, 6-0, whatever, Marie, and even if you do that, you get no credit anyway. So they've won 4-1 in the end. As Tony said, it's a win for Stephen Kenny. It's his first win. Let us just get on with it now. They have a game obviously against Hungary, which will be a much better game for them next Tuesday. They've blooded a couple of new players. Young Parrott scored a couple of goals. Jamie McGrath made his debut. Daryl Horgan has scored. So he has the first win, and let's just get on with it now, Marie.
Yeah, Tony, it feels like after this, okay, it's 4 goals, but it's the goal scorers really that have been impressive, and it feels like we're going to have something to build on.
Well, Troy Parrott has always shown great potential in the underage ranks. He's not long, only 19. He was only 19 in February. You know, he was always seen at Tottenham Hotspur as one for the future, but as soon as Jose Mourinho arrived, he wasn't getting much opportunity in squads and whatnot. So he went out to Millwall and then to Ipswich and struggled there. But, you know, he undoubtedly has talent. There there's the final whistle, in fact, and Ireland have won by 4-1. And Troy Parrott certainly will look back on this as the day he got his first and his second goals for Ireland. He is now the leading goal scorer under Stephen Kenny with 2 goals. So, you know, the future for Troy Parrott hopefully is bright, and hopefully he becomes a shining light for the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, well, we might look back on this day fondly in years to come, Tony. I'm not sure. We're going to let you go, though, and we're going to take a very quick break.
Cheers, guys. 2FM.
Game on 2FM with Green Firm. Naturally good food packed with protein. 2.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back. As you might have heard in the ad break, there is an epic weekend of music on 2FM, and we won't be here tomorrow night. Mo K is going to be in our place, but do tune in because there is really going to be some great music right across the weekend. So check it out if you're not watching the hurling matches, that is. Now, the Republic of Ireland have got a win. They have beaten Andorra 4-1. There was despair in the studio on the 52nd minute when they went 1-0 down. We were all predicting that it could spell the end of Stephen Kenny, but Troy Parrott came to the rescue with 2 goals, putting them ahead 2-1 on the 61st minute, and then Jason Knight and Darrell Horgan both found the net to round it off with a 4-1 win for the Republic of Ireland and a first win for Stephen Kenny. Alan, before we move on to the rest of the European football news, let's round it up. It is a win. Mm-hmm. Stephen Kenny is off the mark. The goals have flowed in. The stats are going to be looking better. They have another game on Tuesday and there's plenty to build on.
I love your positivity, Marie. I love it. Half an hour ago, we certainly weren't predicting this would be the tone of the conversation. But no, absolutely. And that's the things you have to focus on, Marie. As I said, if you look at it from both sides, in terms of the performance itself, the first half an hour it was very bitty and stop-start. That kind of, again, goes back to maybe the opposition that you're playing, and I can't emphasise enough, a dry Astro pitch is the worst conditions you could ever play on. It's dreadful. So they never got into any fluency in terms of what they were trying to do, keeping the ball in possession. But once they kind of got into, after the first half an hour, they did start to create a couple of chances. James Collins missed a sitter. You were expecting a marked improvement in the second half, but as you says, we fell behind, which was a disaster, and we were all looking, thinking, where are we going from here? But they did respond quite well, and the positives to take out of it was the way we finished the game. As you said, the goals for Troy Parrott, Jamie McGrath coming on, making his debut, Darrell Horgan scoring as well, Jason Knight his first goal. So these are the players that we're looking to bring more promising times for us going forward, Marie, those young players. So we have to take the positives out of it, and they'll head into the game now with a bit more confidence, obviously, against Hungary on Tuesday, and it'll be a better opposition to play against as well, because you raise your game when you're playing against a better standard of player. When you're playing against the likes of Andorra on a pitch like that, you're dragged down to their level as well. Now, that's not making excuses for the first half an hour. Of course, we should be better, but it ended very well anyway, so as I say, and it's Stephen Kenny's first victory. You can never look past that either, Marie. He's in the game now. This was his 12th game. It's been a bit of a torrid time for a whole host of reasons, but no one will ever take that away from him. He's the manager, his first victory, albeit against Andorra, but it's a victory for him, and he'll want to look at things a bit more promisingly going forward as well.
Yeah, onwards and upwards now to Tuesday, and let's just hope that they can build on that performance. But look, who knows, we've been down this road before a couple of times now. Unfortunately for any Liverpool and Trent Alexander-Arnold fans, there is some bad news. It has been confirmed it's been reported on the BBC website that he is ruled out of Euro 2020 after a scan revealed that the injury he sustained last night against Austria was quite significant, and he's expected to be sidelined for around 6 weeks. So that is really disappointing. There was so much conversation about around Trent running into the Euro squad announcement, whether or not he was going to make it. He did make it. He got his game last night, but unfortunately it has ended in tears for him, and it's a disappointing blow, I think, for everyone really that follows football.
Oh, absolutely, Maria. Well, hugely for the player, like the first major tournament. Now, I know he went to the World Cup and came on in a dead rubber game, but this was his first major tournament as a real high profile player, and he's an absolute star. As you said, he was probably the one that the most debate was around leading into the the competition. So it's crazy to think 3 or 4 weeks of all the media scrutiny and debate that went on, and then he gets the nod from Southgate, which I think Southgate handled it really, really well. He actually went up and confirmed to the player 3 weeks ago, don't be reading anything in the papers, you're in the squad. It was brilliant management from him. So I'd say it was a huge weight lifted off the lad's shoulders. Then he plays a warm-up game last night and he gets injured. So football, it can be crazy really in terms of how quickly it changes for you. You go from one high and then to a low. But I think for everyone it is a huge blow because he's a brilliant player. Now the only thing from an England point of view is to have 3 or 4 unbelievable right backs as it is. So if there was
four,
one position
four in the squad. So
if there was one position that they were obviously not that they'd be hoping for an injury, but if there was one position where they were going to get a player injured, there's plenty of cover in that right full area. And Reece James, to be fair, was absolutely brilliant in the Champions League final last Saturday as well. You have Kyle Walker, who's he can play right side of a tree in a defensive tree, or else he can play right full. So they have plenty of cover, but it's very disappointing for the player, Marie.
Yeah, and just on last night, look, it was grand. It was a fine performance. I don't think, like, we're not going to be hyping them up. They didn't go out and blow Austria away, but it was fine, and it's probably what suits them now heading into Euros.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the key thing for these games when you're going into them is that you don't get injuries, and unfortunately they got an injury to one of their high profile players, as we said. But I think looking at the performance, he played a lot of the players that are not even in the squad because there was so many involved with Man United and Man City and Chelsea last week. So it was just a case of getting that game out of the way. I give them a big chance, Marie, I have to say. I know we haven't got to our previews of the Euros yet, but I do give them a huge chance. The only area for concern would be the centre half area. I'm not so sure to have the cover if Maguire's injured. Last night Conor Cody and Mings played, they wouldn't fill me with any confidence whatsoever if Maguire's not fit. Stones will come back in, and also the goalkeeping situation. Jordan Pickford is crazy in the goals. You couldn't be relying on him. Now people will argue and Southgate will say he's done well for me, but he's just too erratic. He makes too many mistakes. Even in the game last night, you just never feel secure with him in goals. So that would be the area of concern, the goalkeeper and the centre half position. But other than that, I'd give them a brilliant chance.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they get on. Now that is all we have time for. Alan Coyle, thanks so much for coming in. We will not be here tomorrow. Mo Kay will be in for us, and there'll be lots of music on 2FM over the weekend that will be worth checking out. I'm off home to Clare playing a round of golf with my dad and Dromolan tomorrow. Can't wait.
You've changed.
I've changed. And I'll be watching all those hurling matches.